We turn in Scripture to Ruth chapter 2. We return to our series on Ruth chapter 2, on the book of Ruth. We turn this afternoon to chapter 2. The text is verses 18 through 23. We will not be rereading that section. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now begin the words of the text. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. That's referring, I believe, to the parched corn of verse 14 that Boaz gave to her personally. She brought those leftovers as well. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last time in our study on the book of Ruth, we looked at the godliness of Ruth and Boaz. Last time, at least from my perspective, we looked at Ruth chapter 2 from a distance. We hovered over this chapter and we looked especially at the characters of Ruth and Boaz. And we especially looked at how God's hand was directing and governing all these things, shaping Ruth and Boaz to be exactly who they were, so that we would have a beautiful picture of the gospel. Ruth, for instance, is a widow. She is in poverty. She is a stranger from the country of Moab, but she's also a believer who's been brought into the family of God's people by a wonder of God's grace. Ruth is a beautiful picture of the Christian and where every Christian comes from. Boaz, on the other hand, is a rich man, a leader in the community, and a godly, kind, compassionate man. Boaz is a beautiful example of, or picture, of Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus will do to save his people. And all of these things are directed by the hand of God in order to give us a beautiful picture of the gospel found in Jesus Christ. So last time, we looked at Ruth chapter 2 from a distance. This afternoon, what we want to do is get a little bit closer to these events. This afternoon, what we want to try to do is enter into the experience of Ruth and Naomi and experience for ourselves what Ruth and Naomi were experiencing at the end of this chapter. We want to do that because what Ruth and Naomi experience at the end of Ruth chapter 2 is also what the child of God experiences and ought to experience as he experiences the grace and mercy of God towards him or her. So we're going to try to dive in more deeply into this chapter, looking at the second half of this chapter this afternoon. We take as our theme, reflecting on a most astonishing day. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the exciting hope of Ruth and Naomi at the end of the day. Second, we look at the only explanation for this hope, God's loving kindness. And then third, we look at the proper response. In Ruth chapter 2, Ruth has just had one of the most astonishing days in her entire life. Early in the morning, she rose up. She told Naomi, her mother-in-law, that she would go out to glean ears of barley. She didn't know anyone in the town of Bethlehem. She didn't know where she was going to end up. She didn't know what was going to happen to her during the course of the day. But she exercised her faith, and trusting in the Lord, she went out to search for her daily bread. And what happens next is astonishing. In God's providence, Ruth just happens to end up in the fields of Boaz, a godly man who is also a near kinsman. And Ruth, in the fields of Boaz, is shown kindness in a special way. Ears of corn or barley are dropped specifically just for her to pick up. She is given safety, and she's even given access to the bread and water of Boaz's servants. All in all, at the end of the day, it turned out to be a better day than Ruth could have asked for or even imagined. It was a day of hard, grueling work, to be sure, but it was a day of abundance. And now it's time for Ruth to return home for the evening. So Ruth returns to the town of Bethlehem, returns home to her mother-in-law. She walks through the door of their house. She looks at Naomi, and she plops down the basket of barley that she has gleaned. She puts on the table the leftovers of the parched corn that Boaz had given her earlier in the day. And you can imagine that as soon as Ruth shows Naomi this abundance of food, that Naomi's jaw drops. We read in verse 17 that Ruth gleaned about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley is about 30 to 40 pounds of barley. That's not just enough food for one day. That's enough food for these two women for a couple of weeks. And this is only Ruth's first day out in the fields. And congregation, I hope we can appreciate this from Naomi's point of view. Remember, Naomi has been at home all day long. She's clueless as to how the day has been going for Ruth. It wasn't like Ruth could text Naomi on her cell phone and keep her updated on where she ended up and how things were going during the day. No, Naomi up to this point is completely in the dark as to how Ruth was getting along. Now, one of the questions we could ask is this: why didn't Naomi go along with Ruth? Why didn't she help her glean in the fields? Well, the Bible doesn't answer that question for us, but it could be a couple of things. Perhaps Naomi wasn't mentally or spiritually ready for this kind of thing. After all, this is her hometown, where everybody knows her and she knows everyone. And Naomi has been reduced to utter poverty. Maybe this act of going out to the fields to glean, what the poor do, is right now too humiliating or embarrassing for Naomi. Maybe she just has to process her circumstances and she needs a day or two alone to do this. Maybe she felt like there was no hope for her. Maybe she was still struggling with feelings of bitterness. Call me Mara, I'm bitter. Or maybe she wanted to pray. Maybe she wanted to spend the day in prayer with God alone, asking for His mercy and kindness. Maybe she still had the burden of her sins on her shoulders, what she had done for the last 10 years. Well, whatever the case, if any of these things were the case, and I don't think that's too much of a stretch, then I hope we can really appreciate how Naomi is affected by what Ruth has to tell her. Here is an ephah of barley. They have food enough for the day. That's encouraging. Then here is also a man who has told Ruth that she can glean in his fields for the rest of the barley season and the wheat season. That means food for many months to come, food for the rest of the year. Then Naomi also hears that this man has promised to protect Ruth. He will help her. He will cause her to have an abundance of food. Do we realize just how staggering and glorious this news must have been for Naomi? Naomi has returned to Bethlehem completely empty. And on the first day that Ruth gleans, she is shown that God is going to fill her up again. God is going to make her full. Just notice what Naomi says in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." Naomi is beyond words. She's overjoyed. God is going to provide. God is faithful. God is good. For those who are utterly in poverty, this is comforting. But congregation, there's even more involved. All of that is one thing. All of that is astonishing enough, but that's not the end of it. You need to continue reading through the end of verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19, "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." As if things couldn't get any better, Ruth suddenly tells Naomi that the man's name, whom she came across, is Boaz. And understand, Ruth doesn't have a clue who Boaz is. He's just Boaz, a nice man. But Naomi knows. Boaz. Yes, of course. I forgot. Boaz. We have family in Bethlehem. And not only do we have family, but we have a family member who is eminently godly. A man who loves the Lord, who loves God's people, who will do good to the weak members in the church. And he is wealthy. He's a leader in the church. And not only is this man a godly man, but he is also qualified. He is able to buy Naomi's land and marry Ruth so that Naomi and Ruth have a more permanent future in the land of Israel. And suddenly, Naomi has hope. Her circumstances couldn't have changed more quickly in one day than they did in that day. They have hope for the day. They have food. You understand? Not just for one day, but they have hope for the weeks ahead. They're able to glean in the fields of Boaz for months. And now they have a faint glimmer of hope for the long term. Here's a man who can provide what we need. Here is a man who can save us from our poverty. Here is a man who can revive our extinct family and restore to us a place in Israel among God's covenant people. Congregation, we need to understand what's going on here with Naomi and Naomi's hope. In the next sermon, Lord willing, we will have to describe the work of the kinsman redeemer more fully. But already now, we need to understand what Naomi's exciting hope is. Naomi's hope and her desire is not just for food. Her desire is not just for a husband for Ruth, that Ruth might have someone who can support her. But Naomi's deep desire is to have a place once again among God's people. Naomi's desire is to have a name and a place in the land of Canaan, an inheritance. She wants the name of her husband to continue in the land, if she's even able to dare to hope for that. And she wants Ruth to have a place and a possession in the land of Canaan too. She wants Ruth to have a place in the church. She wants herself and Ruth to be firmly planted among God's people. We just sang it a few moments ago, to be planted in the house of the Lord. And she wants that because Naomi has gone through the experience of giving it up once before. Naomi has, in the past, forsaken her heritage once before, the lines that fell unto her when she left for Moab. And now she's learned to repent. She's come back home, and what she wants is to have a share in the inheritance, the heritage of God's people once again. And of course, that's represented in the land. Having a piece of land in Canaan was a sign of having a place and possession among God's people. And besides her need for daily bread, this is what Naomi wants. And now suddenly, in the astonishing events of this one single day, God has given Naomi this hope. An exciting hope. Through all the barley that Ruth has brought home and put on the table, God is showing Naomi a token for good. God is showing Naomi that He sees her. He knows her, and He is at work to provide for her the spiritual blessings that she longs for and covets. That's what's going on here. Now the question comes to us, beloved. What about us? What we need to see is that the experience that Naomi is going through here at the end of chapter 2 is exactly the experience that we have when we hear the name Jesus Christ. By nature, left to ourselves, who are we? We're just like Naomi at the beginning of this chapter, at the beginning of this day. Apart from Boaz, Naomi has nothing. She has no hope. Apart from hearing the name of Boaz, Naomi's situation is desperate. And just so with us, beloved, apart from the name Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Apart from hearing and knowing the name Jesus Christ, our situation is desperate. I can put it this way. Even if I am here this afternoon in the midst of this congregation, even if I am an outward member of the church here in Randolph, if I don't know the name Jesus Christ, and I don't know who Jesus is as my near kinsman, I have nothing, and I have no hope. Apart from Jesus, we are empty. Apart from Jesus, we have no hope for our present situation. Apart from Jesus, we have no hope for the future, for the fears of tomorrow and the needs of tomorrow. And apart from Jesus, we have no long-term hope either. No hope in death, and no hope beyond death in eternity. That's the situation for the people in the world. They have no hope. Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 3. He speaks to the Ephesians. He says, at that time, in your unconverted state, you were without Christ, being aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, he says to the Ephesians, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now that same reality is ours. We are without hope if we don't know the name Jesus Christ. In fact, this passage is so significant here in Ruth chapter 2 that some commentators will say that this is where Naomi really converts. This is where she turns to the Lord in true repentance. Now, I would disagree with that based on what we already said at the end of chapter 1. At the end of chapter 1, Naomi knows she needs to repent. She knows she needs to return to the land of Canaan. And in her act of returning to Bethlehem, that was a big part of her repentance. She stopped walking in Moab and turned back to Bethlehem. That was her repentance. But I would also emphasize that although Naomi repented at the end of chapter 1, it wasn't really until these events in chapter 2 that Naomi is really filled with hope and joy once again. She had repented, but I think we can say the Lord hadn't yet given her the joy of salvation. Her conscience is still deeply wounded. She's Mara. She's bitter. She knows she doesn't deserve any good thing from the Lord. The exercise of her faith has been interrupted. She's lost the sense of God's favor. And it's not until God reveals to her the name of Boaz that this powerful change comes across Naomi. Now she can have hope. Now she can expect good things from the Lord. Now she is no longer Mara. And that's sometimes the case with us too, beloved. Sometimes we know we need to repent of our sins. And we do. We grieve over our sins. But in order to experience true change, what we need to hear is the name of Jesus Christ. I need to be reminded of who my Jesus is. So often, practically, I forget even that Jesus exists. Sometimes I'm so crushed under the guilt of my sin. Something bad happens. I feel God is angry with me. He's punishing me. And at those times, I need to remember I have someone whom God has sent to take away my debts. I have someone who can and who has redeemed my life from destruction. Knowing Jesus, I know my sins are forgiven. Knowing Jesus, I know that God is my God and I can have peace with God. I have peace with God through Jesus. He's my Father for Christ's sake. He will take care of me and He will bless me. And that means now I can have hope for the future. That means I can have hope even in the midst of very bleak and discouraging circumstances. Even when I'm dealing with the consequences of my own sin and the mess of my own sin, even then I can have hope. Because I know the name of Jesus. You see what a change that brings in our lives. Still living in the same world, still have the same situation, same struggles, but now we have hope. Because we know who Jesus is. We know the name of Jesus. And we know who He is as our Redeemer. You see, that's where Naomi is at the end of Ruth chapter 2. There is hope. There is an exciting hope. Naomi doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but God has showed her in very tangible ways that Naomi has reason for hope. Now we need to ask the question, what is the explanation for this hope? Why does Naomi have this hope? Is it because of anything Naomi has done? Any change in her? Is it because of anything in Ruth? No. It's only because of God's kindness. God's amazing kindness. And that is Naomi's own confession. Notice verse 20 again. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi acknowledges that all of the good news that Ruth has brought home to her is because of the Lord's kindness. Now that word kindness is a very significant word. It's a word that appears around 250 times in the Old Testament. It's very significant. And it's a word that has so many ideas contained within it, that it's hard to translate. In fact, in the King James, maybe it was William Tyndale, but in the King James, so rich is this word that the translator decided to use two words, love and kindness. Loving kindness, because that's how rich this term is. It includes the idea of kindness, it includes the idea of love, it includes the idea of loyalty, of faithfulness, of mercy and righteousness. In Psalm 63, verse 3, the psalmist writes, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. In Psalm 89, verse 33, God says, Nevertheless, my kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. There, with the Hebrew parallelism, you see that loving kindness and faithfulness are intimately connected together. The word that Naomi uses in verse 20 is a word that could perhaps be best translated as God's covenant faithfulness. It refers to God's absolute, unwavering loyalty to His covenant and His covenant people. This word refers to the fact that God has made a covenant with His people. God has made a covenant. He has established a relationship of friendship with Abraham and with Abraham's children. And God had promised Abraham that he would sooner pass through death. Remember when those animals were cut in half and a deep sleep fell on Abraham and God passed through the animals? God said, I would sooner pass through death than break this covenant that I have established with you and your seed after you. Even though God's people are sinners, even though His people at times are such stiff-necked and rebellious people, nevertheless, God will be loyal. God will be faithful. He will continue to show His love and mercy and kindness because He is a covenant, faithful, and loyal God. That's what the word kindness means. The word loving kindness, or here, kindness. And now in Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, that's exactly what Naomi is talking about. Naomi says, God has pledged Himself to His covenant people. God has promised that He will always be Jehovah, the God of His people. And Naomi is saying, and now in my own life and in my own experiences, this is what I am experiencing. That God is faithful indeed. Even though I have sinned so grievously against Him, nevertheless, God keeps His covenant. This is how deep His mercy is. This is how great His love is, that He is kind. He is faithful even to me, who am absolutely unworthy of His kindness and faithfulness. It's that whole idea that Naomi is bringing to mind when she uses that word kindness. And Naomi says that God is kind because Naomi has heard the name Boaz. And based on what Ruth is telling her, and based on how much food Ruth has brought home to her in one day, Naomi has the comfort and the anticipation that God is going to fulfill Naomi's deepest hopes and dreams. All because the Lord is kind. All because the Lord is faithful. Even though Naomi has committed grievous sin and does not deserve to be restored to a place among God's people. Nevertheless, God is good. He is faithful to His promises. He will provide what this sinner desires. He will grant her the desires of her heart because He is kind. He is faithful. To really drive home the point, let me give you one more passage in which we find this word kindness. And that passage is Psalm 51. I think we know Psalm 51. That's the psalm where David is raw with emotion and he is confessing his sin unto the Lord. His sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. And immediately in verse 1, where does David place his hope of forgiveness? To what does David appeal when he confesses his sin? He appeals to God's loving kindness. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. The point is, we are not deserving of God's mercy. We are not deserving of God's forgiveness. But God is gracious. He is loyal. He is faithful. That is God's loving kindness. And again, now back in Ruth chapter 2, Naomi makes that same reference to God's kindness. I am a sinner. I don't deserve to have hope. Call me Mara. I don't deserve a place among God's people. But God is kind. He has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And that means also this. God is not just showing his covenant loyalty to Naomi and Ruth. He's also showing his covenant loyalty even to Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. You see, Naomi believes that God will provide a redeemer so that the name of her husband Elimelech will continue in the land of Canaan. That was part of the reason for having a kinsman redeemer, so that when a man would die without an heir, his kinsman would marry his wife and raise up a seed unto his name, so that that dead man's name and possession and inheritance in the land would continue. And Naomi, here already in chapter 2, says, this is God's goodness to me and to Ruth. And this is God's goodness even to Elimelech and our entire family. This is God's covenant faithfulness. Even when we were unfaithful. The congregation, that's the explanation for Naomi's hope. And that's the explanation for our hope too. You see, from a certain point of view, Naomi could have said, Naomi doesn't even know what's going to happen in the future. She is living completely by faith. That's another astonishing thing about all of this. She doesn't know the outcome, but she trusts the Lord. But from a certain point of view, Naomi could have said this. Why would God waste someone like Boaz on people like us? Naomi and Ruth and Elimelech. Look at who Boaz is. He's an eminently godly man. He's a glorious man. As we said last time, he's God's handiwork, a masterpiece of God. Why would God waste such a man like Boaz on such lowly, insignificant, undeserving sinners like Naomi and Ruth and Naomi's family? Remember, their family willfully left the land of Canaan for the last 10 years. Right when everyone else was suffering through a famine, Naomi's family decided to pack their bags and leave. What mercy do they deserve from God? And Ruth? Ruth is a Moabitess. She's not even of the line of Abraham. Why would God waste such a godly man like Boaz on such lowly, undeserving sinners like Naomi and Ruth and Elimelech? Well, you see, congregation, that's exactly the point. That's God's kindness. God raises up a godly man like Boaz exactly so that he might, in his loyalty and kindness, give that man to the family of Naomi and Ruth. God is faithful. God is good. He is good even to the lowliest of his people. And that kindness that God shows to Naomi and Ruth in this history is the kindness God also has shown to us, his covenant people, today. Again, this is how Boaz is going to be a type, and is a type, of Jesus. Everything that we said about Naomi and her family is exactly what we can say about ourselves. It's an honest question. Why would God waste someone like Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, on people like us? Why? Who are we? We're no different than Naomi and Ruth. We are stiff-necked, rebellious sinners. We are so often doing what is wise in our own eyes. The way that Elimelech and his family left for Moab is so often what we do in our own families too. Maybe not in exactly the same way, or maybe not to the exact same extent, but we do the same things. Why would God waste someone like Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, on such undeserving sinners like us? The reason is, God is kind. That's the only reason. God is loyal. He's faithful to His covenant. That's the only explanation. He is kind, beloved. That's who your God is. He is kind. And that's your reason for hope, beloved. Every single day, that's why whatever your circumstances are in the world, you can have hope. You might feel yourself to be in the same spot that Naomi was in. Struggling with bitterness, struggling with past regrets, struggling with despair, struggling to have hope. You can't see how your circumstances are ever going to turn out to your advantage. With your sin, you've dug yourself into a hole that you are going to spend the rest of your life digging yourself out of. Your sins have too many consequences. You've made your life such a mess, and your sin is such blatant rebellion against God that your own conscience testifies against you that you are entirely unworthy of God's goodness and mercy to you. Do you, like Naomi, feel that you are empty? You are empty? Yes, all these things might be true, beloved. But God is loyal. God is faithful. And once He's made you His covenant child, He will always deal with you as one of His own precious and beloved children. He is unwavering towards the people He has chosen in Christ. He will work it all to your good. He will bless you. He will fill you with His blessing. You, like Naomi, must learn to trust in the Lord. That's what's happening with Naomi right now. She knew she needed to repent. She did repent. She feels empty. She's bitter. And the Lord has shown her a token for good, and she is learning to rely on the Lord's kindness. You know, this is also a big part of what we celebrate at Christmas time. This is what Christmas is about. God is the one who remembers His covenant. This was exactly the struggle of God's people before the birth of Jesus. They were waiting for God to fulfill His promises. They were waiting, and for 400 years there was darkness. They were waiting and waiting, and iniquity continued to increase and abound in the land. And then everything started to happen. Suddenly, in Luke chapter 1, an angel appears to aged Zechariah in the temple and tells him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a son in their old age, and that son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And what does Zechariah say as soon as he's able to speak when John the Baptist is born? Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has performed the mercy promised to our fathers, and who has remembered His holy covenant." See, that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. It's the same thing Naomi is celebrating here in her home in Ruth chapter 2. God is the God who remembers His covenant. And that's something we can celebrate every single day of the year. In all our struggles, in all our trials, God is faithful to His covenant, and He is faithful to His people. We are sinners. We are not so faithful, are we? We are often disloyal. That is our sin. But God is always loyal. That's the amazing kindness of God. That's who God is. Well, now hearing these things, what kind of response must we give? And here too, you see Naomi at the end of Ruth chapter 2. Let's go back to what Naomi says now in verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. What was the response of Naomi to God's kindness? God gave her hope. She knew it was all due to God's covenant faithfulness. How does she respond? She responds by saying, Ruth, this is where we need to be. Now that God has brought us back again to the place of blessing, this is where we need to stay. This is where God wants us to be. This is where we need to stay. Now, congregation, that too is very significant. In chapter 1, remember, Naomi did the exact opposite. In chapter 1, Naomi and her family were in the place of blessing. They were in Bethlehem. But she and her family decided to leave that place of blessing for the fields of Moab. They left the place of blessing. Now, in chapter 2, Naomi shows that she has learned her lesson. And she's not going to, God forbid, she's not going to make the same mistake, the same sin, twice. She knows that being in Boaz's field is the place of blessing. And so she says, this is where we need to stay. You see, again, Naomi is not just learning to repent, but as part of repenting, she's learning to trust in the Lord. Here in verse 22, Naomi is saying, we need to trust in the Lord right now. That's her response. And that needs to be our response as well, beloved. God has dealt with us very kindly. He has given us a kinsman redeemer. He has given us Jesus Christ as our redeemer. He has shed the blood of his only begotten Son in order that our sins might all be forgiven and we might be given a place among God's people, here in the church on earth and among God's people in glory. Day by day, God is dealing with us very kindly. He is always faithful. He is always leading us, always directing us, always, in fact, blessing us. Our calling is to be and remain in the place where the Lord is pleased to bless us. That means be in the church. Be in the place where God's truth is maintained and set forth, where God's word is honored. It also means, if we could put it another way, live close to Jesus Christ. Glean in the fields of Jesus Christ. Find shelter under the protection of Jesus. Find your hope and salvation in Him alone. Just as Ruth had to stay close to Boaz, so we need to stay close to Jesus, living, gleaning in His fields. Living each day close to Jesus, we will experience each day as a day full of blessing. It doesn't mean we're not doing hard work. It doesn't mean we don't have to persevere in the calling God has given us. Ruth and Naomi also had to persevere in their situation too. They had to live by faith, and Ruth had to go to work in the fields. But living close to Jesus and making use of the means He has given us, God will supply us with the blessing we stand in need of each day. He will show us His kindness. He will show us His faithfulness. Living close to Jesus, we will have hope. Because God is kind and God is faithful. You look at your sins, and you will become bitter pretty quickly. You see how great your sins are, and we have to see how great our sins are. But if you stop there, you don't have any hope. Hear the name Jesus Christ, your kinsman redeemer. Look to Him as your redeemer. Believe that through Him, God will supply your needs. And you will see that your God is very kind indeed. So may the experience of Ruth and Naomi in this chapter be an encouragement to each one of us in our daily walk with the Lord. And may we see the beauty of this little book, once again, a short little book, yet filled with deep and rich truths. May it come alive to us. May we be driven to Christ through it and be strengthened for the week ahead. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy loving kindness is more than life to us. May we see it and taste it in all its riches and depths. And may thy name be magnified and honored through it all. Encourage us. Apply this word to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.